name. Let's go to our outline. It's called You Can Overcome Stress. And we're celebrating the 4th of July weekend, and we're celebrating Independence Day. And we wanted, this country wanted to have freedom from the control of the British. And we as Christians should endeavor to be independent of this carnal world, because we have been made new creatures and we've been engrafted into the family of God. And Jesus paid the price with his blood and his body at the cross so that we could be redeemed and come back to the Heavenly Father. And so we have our allegiance to the Lamb of God. We have our allegiance above this earth to the kingdom of heaven, and we then can establish a kingdom of God on this earth, under the earth, above the earth, because of the authority that has been delegated to us. We do not want to be under the control of this world. We do not want to be under control of our flesh. We want to be independent and walk free of all the snares of the devil, and nothing of the devil shall by any means harm us because of who we are in Christ Jesus, set free. And so we celebrate today our true independence when Jesus resurrected from the grave and set us free from eternal death, sin, sickness, poverty, and all that evil. And so we thank you, Lord God, for who we are now in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places with him and co-heirs in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as I was preparing for today, the Lord really had put on my heart, and my husband and I were preparing together, and it was a sign that I was supposed to speak today. And in my heart, the Lord was showing me a revelation that a lot of people are unaware of some attacks of the enemy because they think it's normal life. And if we are unaware of something, then it is going to affect us because we don't know how to pray against it. We don't know how to stop it because we don't even know if it's functioning. So we're going to identify one of the things that hits people a lot, which a lot of us, you know, we're unaware of sometimes, okay? So, we are going to look at stress, and what does it mean to have stress? Well, when someone has stress, it means that they are under pressure. How could we be an overcomer and be free to operate in the power of God when there's something hindering and under that pressure? So that's why it's important to identify stress and get rid of it, because we don't want to be under anything, because we are supposed to be above and not beneath the head and not the tail. Okay? So number one, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines stress as a physical, chemical, or emotional factor that causes bodily or mental tension. See, that tension is like pulling on people and may be a factor in disease causation. And so we know that disease is not of the Lord. And we want to make sure that if there's something that is triggering it, that we want to get to the root causes. And, you know, that may be a root that people have to look at. Number two, Mental Health Foundation definition says stress is the feeling of being overwhelmed or unable to cope with mental or emotional pressure. What's that pressure? When you squeeze something, whatever's inside will come out. You squeeze that mustard bottle, and if there's just a tiny bit left in the bottom, you keep squeezing it, and if it's in there, it'll come out. And I know some people who've almost gotten a divorce when they first were newlyweds, and they didn't realize they needed to have their own toothpaste tube because one of the, you know, couples liked it so neat and only squeezed it from the end and got that little red thing that you slide in there so it rolls up and it just evenly goes up to the end. And then, I won't name names, but the husband just squeezed it splat in the middle and discombobulated the whole tube. But what was in there still came out because it was squeezed. And when it gets to the very end and it looks like there's nothing left inside, you just put more pressure on there for that last bit of toothpaste to come out. Well, what's ever inside of us when there's stress will come out automatically. If you hit your toe very hard, do you say, "I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus"? Or does something else come out that no one else wanted to hear? What's in the default system? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So when we're speaking things that are not gracious, that means we've got to put more word inside of our heart to cleanse our heart, to renew our minds, to wash our minds with the water of the Word of God. And so we need to see if there's stress that is coming out when there is a challenge, then we need to work on that to overcome it. How are you reactive to a stressful situation? Is it God-like with the fruit of the Spirit of God's love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, or self-control? Or is it a reaction that you look just like somebody in the world instead of a God-like Christian person and it wasn't what Jesus would have done? And if we have to apologize, then that means that we weren't in the fruit of the Spirit. So we got to go back to put into us more of gracious words so that when it's squeezed, what comes out of our heart is God's word and our behavior, because it's not pleasing to God when we don't act like God. So now let's look at number three, a simplified physics definition. Stress is the magnitude of external forces when applied to something which may cause deformation, like that toothpaste tube got really deformed, and it could lead to breaking stress. Have you ever squeezed the tube so hard that the top popped off the metal part? Well, I didn't know I was that strong, but I did still get a tiny bit of stuff inside of there. Scored! Okay, so we don't want the devil to squeeze us so hard with challenges to a point of breaking, to a point of not being able to walk in that love, joy, peace, patience, and see our thermostat in the spirit. Because if we do default back to a carnal, ungodly behavior, thank God we can repent for sins. You know? The eraser, repent, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us start over. So here are some synonyms of stress that I thought would be very interesting for some people to identify, because I thought someone was challenged to be stressed out and ministering to that person. They said, "Oh, I never get stressed out. You could hit me with the bottle over the head. I won't even get mad or upset. I'll just turn around and say, 'What are you doing?'" But then I saw this person wasn't sleeping well at night, because she was challenged to think about all the things that was on her plate, and she didn't know how she was going to get it done. And so it kept her awake, and so it was making her challenged to be nervous to see if she could get it done. She didn't realize that was also a form of stress. So let's look at some identification to see if there's any of these things in your life, or if they ever crop up, you'll know how to identify it as stress, and then you can repent of the sin of stress in order to get rid of it and get cleansed of it, okay? To CRB, confess, repent, renounce, and break that sin over your life. So let's see. Excessive pressure. Remember, we were talking about pressure to squeeze something. So the devil sometimes puts so much pressure on people. Strain is like a rubber band that's being pulled and stretched that it could break. Have you ever pulled saltwater taffy? Mm-hmm. It's really fun. It is kind of gooey, but it does taste great after. And If it breaks, then you get to eat the pieces. But anyway, you want it soft and supple. And then when you stretch it, you could twirl it and you could mold it into what you want. And then it has to dry. But if it's too brittle, it'll break. Okay, so we don't break into pieces until we can form it. And so that's where the, you know, deformity of when you're putting some stress on that saltwater taffy, but just the amount that you want is good. And so strain, excessive strain is not good, because sometimes when a runner is running and he's in a marathon or she's in a marathon and you need to strain to get through to that last lap so you can go past the finish line, you gotta press in and you gotta make your body do something. So sometimes it's good to have a degree of pressure and strain when we need to push forward, or when we're so challenged to be tired but have to finish a project because it's due. You press forward towards the mark of your high calling and make your body line up with your spirit. And so now weight. If you look at the big, heavy Olympic weight lifters, you know, gee, wow, I don't know how they do that, man. They have this big, you know, do you call it dumbbell? I don't know what you call it. Anyway, they put the bar over their head, and then they don't leave it there very long. It's just as long as they get it up over the head, they could make it come down. And so as long as they get that weight up, all right, so we can't be pressed down because of that weight. There's one guy told me, he went to the gym and he'd lost 90 pounds on a weight loss program, and he wanted to go to the gym to build up his muscles because he never had worked out before. And he said it was really embarrassing because all these people are buff and they know what they're doing, and it's his first time, you know, in the gym, and he didn't get a trainer, and he realized he needed a trainer because he didn't really know where to start, what to do. And so he saw some guy, you know, on the bench press, and he was lifting the weights and everything, and so he goes, oh, I could do that. But he didn't check the weights. He didn't know, like, to put it down to, like, you know, starter weight level. And I guess it depends on the guys and what their weight is or how much they can normally lift. The way that the trainer will determine, because even some guy who has never worked out before, what if his job is driving a big truck, you know, like a 18-wheeler, and he's really knows how to, he's got the muscles because he has to really grip and change gears or whatever. But, you know, somebody that's like a housewife and all she does is wash dishes, I mean, that's not, you know, a lot of straining and not building up any muscle at all. So he got on the bench press, and he's telling me the story, and he lifted it up, kind of, sort of, and it came down and it pinned him down to the bench. He was so embarrassed. He didn't know how to get up. He couldn't get up. And so finally he's like, help, help. So some other guys said, come over and lift that thing off of him. Okay. Good thing nobody, it wasn't lunchtime and they didn't walk away. You know, there was someone still left, or he'd still be there. Okay. So we sometimes don't realize that stress will allow us to have so much weight on us of workload that it becomes an overload. And it's like the frog in the pot thing. If you put a frog in the cool, you know, room temperature water, and you all know this story, but it bears to repeat it just to think about this. And then we turn that fire up little by little. He's just happy in the water, and pretty soon it's boiling, and pretty soon he's boiled. He didn't realize it because it was so gentle and slow cooking, and it just snuck up on him little by little. And the devil likes to do that. The devil's a snake. He likes to sneak in. So you don't realize that You know, you have a good heart. You want to help this person. You want to help that person. And this person's asking something of you. This other person's asking something of you. This other person wants you to do a favor. And then you didn't get your own stuff done yet. And this other person wants you to do another favor. And you're like, oh, no, I mean, but they say, well, I have a timeline today. And you're like, oh, gee, now their emergency. They want to make it my emergency, but I don't want to offend them. So I don't want to say no, but I've got all my stuff to do. And if I don't get that done, then I'm going to be late with my challenges. And maybe it's to pay bills and you don't want to, you know, your electricity cut off because, you know, it wasn't paid or whatever. And so this person feels pulled in all different directions because these are weights that the devil puts on people. And then there's overload and you don't realize that how much your emotions and your body and your mind can take. And pretty soon that person's making a whole bunch of bad decisions and that person's making mistakes and not even realizing it. Things are not flowing like it should because the anointing has been interrupted with doing things like Martha did. I'm going to talk about Mary and Martha a lot. Okay, so Mary and Martha, remember the two sisters? And they were attending Jesus, and Martha was in the kitchen, and she was doing all the stuff that was really needed, you know, because to feed people and be hospitable. But Mary really wanted to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and learn and grow. And there's times where we have to do the Martha stuff, got to get it done. But if you're always doing the Martha stuff and you're not sitting, especially before a service or during a service, you are having your attention divided. And that could be a challenge of stress, of getting things done, and then you're not receiving that word and you're not receiving all the anointing. And so it's a partial anointing and a partial ministry that you're receiving. And so we have to, even now at home when we're live streaming and COVID, you know, when you're at church, you focus more and pay more attention when you're in the church sanctuary, because that is the environment that's conducive to having a total attention and no deficits of that attention, and to focus and not be sidetracked. And so, but at home, there's so many other things. Somebody could think, good time management, I'll be doing my laundry during service, but then the buzzer rings, you know, for the dryer, and then you have to go, you know, trade out what was in the washer wet into the dryer, but you don't have to do it during service. But the devil will distract people and say, yeah, do it now. And they get up and they leave, and maybe the preacher was saying something exactly what would have been the answer that they needed. And because they're distracted and they're not now, they're diluting the anointing, the challenge of stress can come into their lives, because then it was the exact solution they needed so that they could have peace the next week and have guidance. So we have to watch these things. And pain can cause challenge of stress, because the person is going through traumatic challenges in that part of their body. Sometimes they can't even talk because the pain is so excruciating. A hassle. You know, something is just too much to get done, and it wasn't what you expected, and now you don't have time to handle that. And then, you know, the devil can bring stress into that situation. Now, stress could be good in the sense that if you want to emphasize something, meaning, oh, the theme of this party is going to be the fruit of the Spirit, and so let's, you know, get all the napkins and stuff, like fruit, and you're emphasizing something. Or you're speaking about something, like, I'm emphasizing stress today. So that's a different definition, and we're not going to use that definition. But it will show you that what we do emphasize in our life can bring us stress if it's not Jesus or the Word. If we are focused on something else other than God constantly, it will open up a door to stress, to attack people, is a challenge that may come. And whatever we're dwelling on, because we're supposed to dwell on those things that are good, that are lovely, they're true, of good report, on the Word of God, if we're dwelling on the problem, and then we're so upset, or that person was so offended at that person and so offended at what they did or said, and now the devil is going to bring the video replay to their thoughts. And the thoughts keep coming, and the feelings of anger or frustration or whatever keep coming. That is a challenge of stress. It'll stress out the person to get so challenged that could open them up to sickness. And usually I get a phone call and say, I now have pain, I now have these challenges, headache, I don't know what to do. And I'll say, okay, Pastor Joshua says, rewind the video. When did this start? Did someone offend you? Were you in fear? Were you offended? Did you have any unforgiveness against someone else or yourself or a third party watching TV and you get mad at what someone did that you heard on the TV, you don't even know them? That can cause a challenge of stress too. Especially if, like you see, the gas prices are going up and up and up. It cost my husband $95 to fill up his tank last week. Wow. There was a very big temptation to be stressed out about that, let me tell you. But we just had to shrug it off and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, because Jehovah Jireh is my provider. And no matter how much inflation is going up, I'm going to trust that God meets my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, because our God has already supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, or by Christ Jesus. And this is the attitude we have to take to ward off the stress. Otherwise, it could lead to challenges like depression. And that's pressing the person down more. That's what the devil wants to do. That's his goal. And we're not going to let him do that anymore. We're not going to let him trick us anymore. We're going to recognize when stress is trying to attack us. The devil can even try to attack relationships and have stressful relationships. How is that? Well, if there's strife, there's usually stress and all evil works. There's no peace there, right? Especially if there's bickering, fighting, or someone misunderstood you or twisted the truth or didn't see your perspective or falsely accusing you of something or now not talking to you, or they thought you did something but you didn't do something, you try to explain, they don't want to hear about it, blah, 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 whatever it is. We cannot succumb to the stress of that and not keep repeating it, because if you keep repeating it, it gives more power to that stress, which can affect us, and we don't want that affecting us in Jesus' name. You know, I love when Pastor Joshua said, forgiveness is a gift we give to ourselves. Why? Because if I want to be released from a challenge and not have a worry about it, not have it negatively impact me, not be still in strife with somebody, even though I've forgiven them, even though they might not have forgiven me. But if I release that, release the problem, don't think about it anymore once I have confessed my sin and repented and turn around so that I come back into the kingdom of God, turn around my behavior back to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, turn around where I am not upset at that person anymore, they can't hurt me. Mm-mm. I have disconnected myself to that person. I've disconnected myself to the devil in that negative situation. And now I'm back in the kingdom of God, and everything that I need will be done for me. And God is a good damage control God and can fix anything and everything. But if I still stay connected to that stress and to that worry and to that person and that whatever, then it gives permission for the devil to keep attacking me and to keep bringing the stresses and bring more stressors, because seven worsers love to follow the one that was, you know, told to go away and come back. And I don't want a seven worse situation in my life. Do you? Okay. And so if you can observe when someone else is going through this, but it's more challenging to see when we're going through it. You know, I like that analogy that if you're in a forest and you're challenged to be lost, and you for some reason got turned around, someone's in a helicopter above and can loudspeaker, hey, go right, now go straight, now go left. Okay, you see the big rock, go over that big rock, okay. But if you're in the middle of it, sometimes it's more challenging to get out of it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, who's there in heaven, can see what's going on. That's why we need pastors who are above us spiritually, so the Lord shows them things. And you may not agree with it, but they can see something you're not seeing. So we need to be open to correction. We need to be open to guidance. We need to be open and coachable, because a coach can't coach somebody if he doesn't want to be coached. Then he's going to be benched all season, because he's not going to be doing what he needs to be doing, because he thinks he's doing everything right. And someone who's prideful, well, who can correct someone who thinks he knows everything and a know-it-all? Nobody, except for God, can get through to him through prayer. And we then have to let God let us see any hardness, challenges in our heart to being corrected. God has to soften our hearts to receive it. And so I hope you still love me after this sermon, because I'm not wanting to get on your case. But God has said to me, Karen, there's some stressors in your life that you need to take care of. So I'm preaching to myself, okay? So he had to show me some things that I had to overcome and didn't realize were stressing. And now I'm learning how to overcome it quickly and not just, you know, stew about it, and just to CRB and get back in the kingdom of God and let the joy of God be in my life, and let it be like water running off a duck's back instead of making my life challenge. I don't want that anymore. Okay, so significant events like COVID-19, pandemic, Christ, can always be there with us. Jesus Christ is always with us through every challenge, even through a pandemic. If there's an earthquake or whatever, all these things can increase stress and anxiety. And so what the term stress is referring to is those challenges that can have an external pressure to cause something to happen if there's not enough strength to withstand that pressure. Are we growing stronger on our faith and in our spirit on the rock of God, the rock of Jesus, the rock of the Word of God? If we're still having challenges with stress and reactions to things that are happening in our life in a negative way, then we need to shore up and study more the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome. And this lesson will help you overcome. You might want to go back through this lesson a couple of times. Here's an example of how stress can affect the body. Doctors say that it can affect the body, and they now find that the majority of diseases can be caused by stress. There was an example I heard while watching TBN TV, and there was a farmer, a man who had, they call it a deer farm, but it's not like growing plants farm, but he had a herd of deer, and there was a baby fawn. And one morning, the farmer went out, and he found the fawn had died, and it was very sad. But he didn't see any marks on the fawn or scratches or bite marks from a cougar or a coyote. And so he took the dead animal to the veterinarian because he wanted to make sure it wasn't a disease, because that if there was a disease, then he didn't want it to contaminate the rest of the herd. And so they did an autopsy and found that the fawn was under such stress that his organs exploded and he bled to death. And they saw cougar marks, paw prints around, and they realized that the fawn did get away and was able to hide or something and get away from the cougar. But the fear stressed out the fawn so much, it traumatized the pressure was so great that the deer couldn't handle it and died. Well, a deer has a heart, a deer has lungs, a deer has organs like human beings. And that's just an example of how the devil wants to stress people out. And we don't want that happening in our lives, do we? Okay, so I know that's a long intro, but I think it was very important to set up a premise as we go through this. So, A, how does stress negatively affect your life? Stress may challenge to affect your heart, soul, mind, and body. Number two, like I just said, doctors say many diseases are caused by stress. In fact, it can cause chest pains that seem like a heart attack, and people then go to the doctor and all their tests says your heart and your cardiovascular system is fine. It's a panic attack, because it can cause the mimicking of a heart attack. It can cause hair loss. It can cause people to shut down, make mistakes, fuzzy brain. It can cause nervousness. It can cause stomach aches, gastrointestinal challenges. Ulcers will result, a tearing of the lining in the stomach because of stress, because overproductive of acid. I mean, headaches, dizziness, migraines, you name it, all these kind of things. Diabetes, high blood pressure, my goodness gracious, all these kind of things. Maybe we should be looking at CR being stress and breaking curses on that generationally. Number three, warning signs. Not praying as usual, not seeking ministry, isolating and avoiding your pastor, family, or friends. In addition, may have challenges of anger, time urgency, perfectionism, tension, overloaded schedule, and you're not realizing that you're not, you should say, no, I wish I could help you, but I can't. Instead of having 11 things to do, maybe you could, you know, get down to five because you're okay with handling five projects, but now it was too much. And then they're so challenged to be burned out because of the stress, they aren't even realizing that they're overloaded. Then it can bring disappointment, underachievement, not performing like normal. And it could have physical stress effects like I just talked about. And it could also create challenges of emotional problems, sexual challenges, crying spells, bursts of anger, not eating enough or overeating. Do you know that there's some people who are thin and eat well and don't overeat, but as soon as they get stressed, their body starts to create more fat cells and they start gaining weight? It's just a weird thing. And so doctors have discovered that. And so they help them to de-stress. What are some life and work stressors? Well, finances, inflation, lack of money, fear of lack, marital challenges, challenges with your family, job, lockdowns, pandemics, food shortages, high gas prices, being abused, bereavement, experiencing crime, having to go to court, organizing an event, public speaking. There's a lot of stuff. IRS, just getting an appointment that, they want to meet with you. That's challenging. Fear of failure. Are your credit cards maxed out? Fear that there's not enough time to get it all done. Fear that the Antichrist will reign soon. Fear that our country and world disasters. Fear all these things can cause people to be stressed out. So there's biblical references to stressors. Trials, tribulations, troubles, hardships, persecutions, distresses, afflictions, suffering, adversity, disaster, chastening, torment. The devil seeks to devour people. We can't let that happen. So what are we going to look at? 1 Peter 5, 7 through 8 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he can't devour you if you're in the kingdom of God, if you're in the word, if you're obedient and submitted to God, then you resist the devil. And the devil, what? He flees from you, and he's afraid of you because of the power that's coming out of you, the dunamis, miraculous power that's inside of you. Now, B, how can you overcome stress with faith? By obeying God's word. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, pressure, or stress, because that is the Greek translation of tribulation is pressure. But be of good cheer. When you have pressure, be of good cheer. Wow, you're being pressed, but be joyful. Why? Because Jesus has overcome, so we know that we can have victory and we can press through that to overcome regardless of what is trying to come near us. Now look at, he who has an ear, here's the rewards of overcoming. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, it says in Revelation 2:7. He who overcomes, he who has an ear, shall not be hurt by the second death, Revelation 2:11. Another reward, he who has an ear, to him who overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name, an overcomer name, written which no one except him who receives it, Revelation 2:17. That's what God wants you to have, and that's what you do have by faith. Number one, being free of stress is being independent of it. We are free from stress. We don't have to have it if you just say, no, I am not going to allow that in my mind. John 8:31-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples, not every Christian will be set free, but the disciples who abide in God's word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those are the free ones. That's being independent of this world. Ha ha! There you go. Get in the word. Abide in God's word. Abide in Jesus, in his presence. is fullness of joy. Remember, that joy is going to help you when you go through trials. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If you don't have joy, you have probably opened up the door to stress. A, Oxford definition of independent. Free from outside control means the devil can't control you anymore or your thoughts or your behavior because you are making yourself obey the word of God. Not depending on another's authority. Nope, I'm not going to give the devil authority in my life because I'm challenged to be stressed out or have sin in my life. And not depending on another for livelihood or substance because God provides everything for us. Amen. Number two, obtain victory, perseverance, character, and hope when you overcome tribulation or stress. Strong's Concordance definition of tribulation, and this is the Greek word, philippesis, means pressure or stress. And 1 John 5:4-5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. You have victory because you are an overcomer. You have overcome the world through our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, which we do. So Romans 5:1-5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What? We glory in stress? What? Why? Because knowing that tribulation or stress produces perseverance, which we need to make it to the end, to press on, right? And perseverance then will make you have godly character, and godly character will give you godly hope. Now, you cannot receive that unless you go through a trial, because you are not going to be able to have victories unless you learn to have a victory to overcome something. So count it all joy that you have another opportunity to have another victory, to have another practice. Okay? And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Because when you go from glory to glory and victory to victory, it's like you go from the light boxing ring, the lightweight match, into the heavyweight match. There's a bigger level, a bigger devil, okay? But you know you overcame that one, so you're going to learn to overcome the other one. Your brain cannot learn like it should unless it's faced with a challenge to overcome it. Hello? You have to overcome a test, right? Testimony means you had the test and you passed it. So rejoice in your trials and tests, because you have a testimony around the corner. Okay, so you're going from victory to victory. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. But that's not you. You are faithful. Matthew 25:21, But his Lord or boss said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what God is saying to you. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enjoy, enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter the joy. Now you have more responsibilities in that next level of victory. Ha, ha, ha. More success means more responsibilities, right? But you can handle it, because God's not to give you more than he knows that you could bear. You can do it. Don't give up. I don't care what the devil tells you. Don't quit. You are victorious. Even though you can't see it right now, God calls you a victor, and you are an overcomer, and you have overcome because Jesus is with you. Amen. Number three, do not reduce stress the world's way. Reduce stress God's way. They say, get enough sleep. God says that too. Rest in the Lord. They say, eat healthy. He says, have sweet sleep in Jesus. They said, avoid excessive caffeine or stimulants. God says, do not conform to this world, but have moderation in all things. They say, have yoga and transcendental meditation. God says, meditation on his word, which is truth and life more abundantly. And we're not worshiping a God that died or is dead. He's the resurrected Jesus. He's the only one. Hallelujah. And so worship God in spirit and in truth. Because praise stops the avenger, and his presence, there's fullness of joy. Operate in the fruit of the Spirit by checking your spiritual thermostat of love, joy, peace, and patience, and be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, because then you will have the life more abundantly, exceedingly above all that you could ask, hope, or think of. Number four, biblical solutions to overcome your stressors. Access your heavenly inheritance. Overcome and be of good cheer. Be fruitful, be loved, be healed, endure, become strong, receive mercy, partake of consolation. Remember that God hears, answers, saves, redeems, and perfects you. Hallelujah. This is what the word says of how to overcome. So Romans 12, 1 through 2, it's actually a typo error there. It's supposed to be Hebrews. Thank God for faithful people who brought that to my attention. Okay. But Romans 12, 1 through 2 is a good scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I had Romans on my mind, but really I decided to have Hebrews, so it should be Hebrews. So it's Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. And this is what we're going to end with. Let us lay aside every weight, every pressure, every stress, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run. You can't run with weights on you. Run without the stress, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not looking unto the stress or the problems, the author and finisher of our faith. So check your weights of how much stress is on you and pull back from something. Get it off of your current overloaded schedule. Spend more time with the Lord, soaking in his presence where there's the fullness of joy. And that will de-stress you. Get in the word more concerning the trials and tribulations and tests you're going through to get your testimony, because God says that you can overcome stress. Hallelujah! In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastora Karen. Woo! She said, don't be mad at me. Hey, listen to the word of God that's coming out of her mouth. That's not her speaking. That's the Holy Spirit talking to each one of us. She's just lending her voice so the word can get out. And so with that enthusiasm, with that focus on the word of God, my goodness, how can we not be motivated to pay attention and do something about it, right? Because stress is a terrible thing, and it's so typical of the world, of mammon, and the corporate world. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And thank God that many of us are out of the corporate world now. For those that are, remember to do things God's way, work as unto the Lord, and keep these ideas that Pastora Karen has shared today, keep them in mind as you do your work and as you perform your task for your bosses. So we have victory in Jesus. Overcoming stress, and Jesus wants us to be in his peace, the peace that passes all understanding. We can't explain it, we can't understand it, but we can experience it, and that's what he wants for us, to live in it, to rest in it, to rest in the Lord, and that's what he makes available to us, and we just have to access it and choose to live in it. Because remember, the natural world says we make 25,000 decisions a day. And a lot of those have to do with our schedules and stress factors. So let's pay attention and let the Holy Spirit guide us. And he will definitely not be wanting to put stress on us. The Holy Spirit is the one that wants to lead us into that peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. Hallelujah! Praise God. So, in this joyful attitude, let's come to the table because it is a joy for us. And you know what? It was a joy for Jesus. For the Word of God says, for the joy that was set before him, he chose to sacrifice himself for us so that he would take all the hard part and we would get the good benefits. And we still receive those benefits today, ongoing from the body and the blood of Jesus. So let's take a moment to confess our sins and get ourselves in a state of holiness to approach our holy God in holy communion. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Abba Daddy, for your word that tells us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it, he broke it. He said, take this, eat it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. We rest in you. We rest in your healing. We receive of your healing when we rest with our bodies in peace and in comfort, free from sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. For yes, all of those create stress. But you already paid that price, Jesus, for us to be stress-free in our bodies. We thank you for healing. What a wonderful gift it is. So amazing that we don't have to be influenced by getting older and aging and our bodies deteriorating. No, you created us to live victoriously, to live in health and strength in life. Zoe life, vibrant life, that's how we should live. And our bodies lining up with the Word of God because you took those 39 stripes, Jesus. How very, very awesome. How wonderful. We love you so much, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you that we have been past tense, completed work. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we say so as we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus in that great exchange of covenant to receive healing and wholeness, restoration and rejuvenation for any and all parts of our bodies that have been attacked by the enemy. For we are the healed of the Lord, fighting to keep our healing where the devil tries to steal it away. We are not the sick trying to get well. We are the healed of the Lord, period. That's the word of the Lord God Almighty. And we receive it, and we thank you and praise you, Lord, as we receive of the broken body of Jesus right now, together, in unity, in thanksgiving, in remembrance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for giving up your life. Thank you for dying so that we could live. Thank you for providing us with this life everlasting. Thank you that the life is in the blood, and whenever we partake of your blood, we are partaking of your life, Jesus. And you said the Father is in you, so we partake of the life of God that is in you, Jesus. We choose to be flooded with the blood of Jesus and saturated with the life of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it is our intention to be obedient to your word that we shall not die, but we shall live and declare and continue to declare the works of the Lord. And our ultimate goal, to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.